many years ago in a small city of a far away country, the humble family of Peter Johnston lived happily and well, for by trade, Johnston was a butcher, and his table was always supplied with the best cuts from the market. On the day our story begins, Peter and his wife had traveled into the country with their horse and cart to visit a farmer who raised fried beef.
Lucky's with us. Farmer Grafmeyer is in the barnyard.
I see him.
If we can buy his pigs for a good price, we'll be in luck. Oh. Oh. Hello, Grafmeyer.
Good day to you. You, Mrs. Johnston.
The same to you, Farmer Grafmeyer.
Can we get down from the cars and go to the house to visit my wife? The Tudor seldom has company.
Thank you. I will remain in the cart with my husband.
You know how it is with my good wife, Clara. She is as interested in the shop as I.
Yes, Johnston.
It's a great wonderment to all the people around the town that a woman should work in a butcher shop with her husband.
It is a source of great merriment. That is what you mean to say, Farmer Grafmeyer. It should be no one's concern but my husband. Why should they laugh that I'm strong enough to aid Peter with the butchering, or that I can stick a pig as good as any man?
You are a brave woman, and we have come to see you about your prized pig, Grafmeyer.
Never in your life have you seen such prize stock as I have this year.
They will name you a good price for them.
They were afraid Johnston, your sister, is wasted. I have made up my mind not to sell the prize stock I have.
Not sell them? It will be a long winter, Grafmeyer. You will have need of the money I offer.
I will make better money selling them to the farmers.
Have you not heard of the dire calamity which has befallen many of the farmers of our territory?
Who has not heard of it? It's the same as every year. The gypsies. They steal the pigs of the farm.
Yes. Every summer they steal the pigs.
Someday these wanton gypsies will get caught. If ever I find them stealing my stock, if ever I catch them, well, you will not promise the consequences. But why am I getting upset now? The gypsy band have left us, and they will not return until another summer is with us.
Meanwhile, Farmer Grafmeyer, the farmers, many of them have lost their stock. They will not be able to buy from you.
It is no use. You cannot persuade me to sell, Mr. Johnston.
Oh, come, Peter. If the good farmer has made up his mind, it is no use to waste time. We bid you good day.
Good luck go with you. Make us a visit again when there will be time for you to visit in the house with Matilda. Yes.
If you change your mind about selling your prized stock, take a visit to the shop, Farmer Grafmeyer.
If I change my mind, you will see me in the shop.
He's some wise man, Clara. He's been forging with prized meat to refuse to do business with me.
Do not worry.
I am in need of what he has. You need to store much from the farmers this year. We do not have enough meat for our business.
You heard me tell you not to worry, Peter. I do not feel strong enough to see my prediction come true. I tell you, Farmer Grafmeyer will sell his price pig to you before long.
You are right, Father. Many times you told me what will come to pass, and it has come to pass. But in a good wife for me.
Yes, let them laugh because I help you with the cross ring. I have saved you money, so without me, you would need the help of another man.
There is not a finer woman in all the town than Clara Joyce. See? You have made me forget already that I could not strike a bargain with Farmer Grafmeyer.
Peter Johnston and his wife drove on towards the town. Clara's dark and beady eyes stared into far distances. think she saw strange things pictured there. Mysterious things her plain and cocky husband could never see. Sometimes a faint and curious smile caught at the corners of her mouth and stayed there for a second, making her round face appear almost grotesque. And as was her custom, she sat in the lumbering cart with her body bent far over, her head half concealed by her rounded shoulders, and her short, fat arms rested awkwardly in her lap. When the journey was over, Peter stopped the cart in front of their humble house.
In an hour's evening, meal will be ready.
Yep. I will be to the house by then.
As the cart drove away, Clara stood watching it. It was easy to see that she longed to go on to the shop, that the task awaiting her in the house were of no interest. Then she turned and walked inside. Here, her old mother Marie sat in her chair by the open fire. She was knitting to the rhythm of the rocker.
Ah, it's you, Clara.
I have returned to prepare the evening meal. It's a pity that I have no one here in my house who can put a kettle to boil.
You chide me as always, but I hear your sharp tongue without a mercy.
You listen to what I say because you would have no other home if my husband did not allow you to stay here with me.
Ah, my child, there are other reasons why I bear your insults. Other reasons than because I am old and my weak muscles are tied in knots.
What reasons? You're always talking of your mysterious reasons, but you'll say no more.
I cast very many stars and lock away many feet.
You're a worthless old woman. Even the fire goes nearly dead while you almost sit upon it in your creaking old rock. My strong arms will soon have it going. I like the big red flame brushing up the chimney. The broad red flame. The blood red flame. Look at him.
My poor child. My poor child.
Oh, stop calling me your poor child. And move your rocker back before your brand was cinder.
That old woman went on shaking her head as if she held a dark sorrow. And as days passed, life went on in the village. Each day, Clara went to the shop to help her husband with the butchering. Here, she was happy in her element. Every day, she told her husband that soon he would own the stock of Farmer Grassmeyer. 1 month wore away, another came, and with it, the first snowfall. And about this time, farmers drifted into the shop to tell a sad tale.
We must organize a band of men to catch these gypsies, for the winter is still upon us. They still hide in the woods and steal our stock. I picked I lost last night, 5 of them. When will this thieving business be done? Have you heard of Grafmeyer? Has he lost his fine stock? They have not visited his farm yet. So he told me yesterday.
Yeah, but they will. Mark what I say. If this thieving goes on, we will be starving before the winter is done.
It is a strange thing that it is only pigs they steal from us. The winds were not so bitter cold, I would stay in my barn and watch for the gypsies in the night. must organize a band of men, search them out in the woods, and bring the thieves to justice. I cannot complain. The last 2 days have found me with an abundance of meat to butcher. There is some talk, Peter Jones. You are buying from the gypsies. It is a lie. My wife, Clara, drove to the farm 2 days of this week and bought the meat herself. She has a way with the farmer. He sells to her. The cart comes home with plenty for the butcher's knife. Something must be done. There must be some way to stop them. We must think of it then.
Then came one cold night. When the winter moon rose high in the sky, on the ground lay a thick blanket of white snow. Farmer Grantmeyer had made a last trip to look at his farm, to assure himself that all was well for the night. He put extra straw in the sky for his prize pigs, and then he returned to the house. As he sat in the farm kitchen, he heard a strange sound coming from the direction of the barn.
Something's going on out there. The gypsies, maybe. The gypsies have one of my prize pigs. They're fighting. There is someone out. They're after them. Someone trying to steal my stock. Oh, whoever is there, halt. Strange wild people to die with my prize piece. Where is you? The ash. Where is the ash? I'll honor that strange wild thing with the ash. Mercy for me. Where is it you?
Never have I witnessed such a sight before. said you used to act for a wild pig. You didn't tell me the truth. You killed this woman.
That I never did. It was a wild pig, an animal I killed last night. That I will swear until I die. But this woman... Tell you what this is, so horrible, dreadful thing. Do not look.
What's this?
The children do not look closer. They will hang me for doing that to not do. I know who this woman is. Finally, I struck at it a strong blow. Then again, I struck until Mind you, I saw no one else. Morning came. My wife yelled into my ears that something horrible in the sky. I hurried out with her. And there was the body of a woman. Your wife, yes. Tell him, Constable. Tell him the horrible thing. It was Clara Johnson, all right. With her head half severed. But it was not a real human head, do you mean? One part of the face was like a pig face. The ear like pig ear. The hide like pig hide.
What life are you inventing?
No life. It was as if Clara Johnson was but part human. Her head had been struck by an axe.
Struck by an axe? You killed her. Gaspar killed her.
I killed a woman last night. I swear to you, I killed a woman.
Well, what happened, my boots? I will see for myself what has happened.
Wait, Peter Joseph. Wait, all of you. Until I tell you the secret I have hid away in my heart.
Stay on, Mr. Hurt. Take me to the farm.
Wait. I will tell you how it happened.
Can you clear the name of Farmer Gaffmeyer?
I can clear it all.
Then we will hear you talk.
Sit down, Eden, for my voice is not as strong as that of the young. Sit down, Eden. Yes, take chairs. Now you will hear me the story. It was but 4 months before my daughter Clara was born into this world that one morning I heard a knock at the door. I went over and lifted the latch. There before me stood a gypsy woman. Her greasy shawl was pulled up over her head. Her toothless gums and her wild black eyes frightened me. She reached out with her claw-like hands for me. Oh, dear. Fool. I see no gypsy.
You will give me food.
Get away from my door. Get away.
Close the door upon me. And I will pay you in my own way, sweet insult. Do not close the door. I did close the door. I locked it.
I remembered how the people of the village had told me that she was a witch, and no one spoke with her. From the window I watched her. And as she went through the yard, the pig ran in front of her. She stopped to rub its head. Then she turned and made some sign at the house. Her claw-like hands pointing at the window. I thought no more of the incident until Clara was born. And as she grew older, I would find her bed empty on moonlit nights. She would leave her warm room and walk out. One night I followed her. Before my very eyes, I saw her enter the pigsty and mingle with the animals. Then I saw her assume the form of a thief. All night I watched her. As daylight broke, she would return to human form. This went on all her life. And only on the night when the moon was full did she leave her bed. All these years I have watched her. Many times I have met her at the door and at the gray dawn was breaking. I said, Clara, where have you been?
I do not know. Oh, why do you follow me about?
I know where you have been. There is the odor of peace about you.
Oh, get away from me. Get away and find no more. Get away! Get away!
I have borne sorrow and fish I see. Every night when the moon has come true, I have watched over her and waited for her to return to the house. When she married, I followed her that I might watch over her. But this last year I have grown old and sleep holds me. I have not been able to follow. So this has come about. I have always feared that someday she would be killed and the story would be known. And now it is known and told to all.
If I had not seen the body of the woman lying in the sky, I could not believe the story. But the telling of it frees Lucia Grafmeyer of killing her. All these years, I never knew. But now it makes a strange manner and a strange way clear. Now I will leave the town and the butchering shop forever.
That is what I have urged you to do these many times, Peter Jordan. But I have known wherever you might go, as long as Clara lives, the curse of the gypsy would be upon her. Only death could release her from the horror the witch woman pronounced upon her.